This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more details, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, new magnetar candidate discovered in outburst, probing closer to a black hole with high-energy X-rays, and further evidence of a potential ocean on one of Saturn's moons. Neutron stars are created when massive stars explode as supernovae at the end of their lives. The violent explosion compresses the core of the star, resulting in a very dense object spinning very fast. While these neutron stars have strong magnetic fields, hundreds of thousands of times stronger than any man-made magnet, there is a subclass of stars with magnetic fields hundreds of times stronger still. Known as magnetars, only 14 of these objects have been discovered so far. But on the 22nd of August 2008, X-rays reached Earth from a massive outburst of an unknown object. The burst of high-energy photons triggered an automatic sensor on board the SWIFT satellite, and within hours the XMM Newton satellite was also monitoring the event. The outburst lasted for 4 months, and hundreds of smaller bursts were recorded over this period. The astronomers studying the satellite data soon realized that what they were seeing was probably due to the outburst of a previously undiscovered magnetar. It is thought that an outburst like this occurs when the unstable magnetic field pulls the crust of the magnetar, allowing matter from inside the star to escape in an exotic volcanic eruption. This material can interact with the magnetic field, changing its configuration and releasing yet more energy. This particular object, known as SGR0501+4516, is located roughly 15,000 light-years away in the constellation of Auriga, and is the first new magnetar candidate in a decade. Although all known magnetar candidates are located a long way from Earth, their flares are so energetic that they can supply as much energy to our detectors as is recorded by solar flares from our own sun. The magnetic fields on a magnetar are so strong that if one were as close as half the distance to the moon, it would wipe the details off every credit card on Earth. While the exact mechanism that forms a magnetar is not yet certain, the analysis of SGR0501+4516, published in the monthly notices of the Royal Astronomical Society during June, does provide strong evidence that the two classes of magnetar, known as anomalous X-ray pulsars and soft gamma-ray repeaters, are actually different phenomena from one type of object, rather than two physically distinct classes of magnetar. The extreme environment surrounding supermassive black holes in active galaxies is difficult to see directly, due to both the large distances of these galaxies from Earth and the high levels of obscuration by the surrounding accretion disk and dusty Taurus. One method of probing this region is through observing the shape and time variability of spectral lines emitted by the gas in the region surrounding the black hole. Spectral lines are caused by the emission of photons at specific wavelengths. Each atom or molecule emit lines at different sets of wavelengths, resulting in a sort of chemical fingerprint, which can be used as a diagnostic tool when studying the interstellar medium, as well as the atmospheres of stars and planets. In the case of active galaxies, there is a large amount of high-energy X-ray radiation, which can be studied by satellites such as the European Space Agency's XMM Newton. This X-ray continuum can knock electrons out of atoms from orbits close to the atomic nucleus, if the incoming photon has sufficient energy. When this happens, an electron from a higher orbit can drop down to fill the hole, emitting an extra photon as it does so. These emitted photons have specific energies, corresponding directly to the difference between the energy states of the two orbits. One such X-ray emission line, known as the Iron K line, has been detected in the central regions of several active galaxies over the last 15 years. But a paper published in Nature last month describes how, for the first time, both the Iron K and Iron L lines have been detected. The observations of both of these spectral features in one galaxy has allowed the researchers to investigate in detail the region immediately surrounding the supermassive black hole at the centre of the galaxy known as 1H0707-495. Led by Andrew Fabian at the University of Cambridge, the team have studied the shape of the lines, which are distorted in characteristic ways by the speed of the orbiting iron atoms, the energy needed for the X-rays to escape the black hole's gravitational field, and the spin of the black hole itself. The fact that both the K and L ion lines are present suggests that the region around the black hole is much richer in ion than the rest of the galaxy. Modelling of this galaxy shows that iron is 9 times more abundant than it is in the Sun. The team also measured how the brightness of the L line varied with time. Careful analysis of the data showed a time lag of 30 seconds between changes in the X-rays seen directly and those seen in reflection from the disk. The delay of this echo lets the size of the reflecting region be determined and leads to an estimate of 3 to 5 million solar masses for the mass of the black hole. The observations also showed that the black hole was spinning very rapidly and swallowing the equivalent of 2 Earths every hour, close to its theoretical limit. Recent images from the Cassini spacecraft showed spectacular plumes of gas erupting into space from fractures in the surface of Enceladus, one of Saturn's many moons. A popular theory explaining these plumes is that they come from a subsurface ocean kept liquid beneath the frozen icy surface by tidal heating generated by the moon's eccentric orbit around Saturn. 2 papers published in the journal Nature on the 25th of June use very different techniques to investigate the chemistry of these plumes to try and pin down the details of the model. Using the Keck telescope in Hawaii and the Anglo-Australian telescope in Australia, a team led by Nick Schneider at the University of Boulder in Colorado made sensitive observations looking for spectral signatures of sodium in both the plumes and Saturn's E-ring, thought to contain significant material from the plumes. A subsurface ocean in contact with the moon's rocky core would be expected to contain significant amounts of sodium in the form of salt, as is the case with Earth's oceans. So, if these plumes are caused by geysers from water just below the surface, then the sodium signal should have been easily detected. Despite more than 13 hours of observing time, the team saw no significant spectral lines due to sodium, apparently ruling out an ocean immediately below the surface. Another team, led by Frank Postberg at the Max Planck Institute for Nuclear Physics in Heidelberg, Germany, used data from the Cosmic Dust Analyzer experiment on board Cassini. They analyzed the mass spectra of thousands of E-ring dust particles and found a small but significant population of grains rich in sodium salts. At first, these two results seemed contradictory. Where did the sodium-rich grains come from if the plumes themselves contain no detectable trace of sodium? However, the suggestion is that the plumes actually come not from a subsurface reservoir, but from an ocean much deeper beneath the surface. The proposed explanation is that a deep, salty ocean exists many kilometers below the surface. Evaporation from this ocean releases pure water as jets of steam into the E-ring, leaving a salty residue behind. The sodium-rich grains found in the E-ring could be carried to the surface by gas bubbles in these jets, creating salty droplets which freeze once they reach the surface, dragged along with the flow and out into the E-ring. In this model, the amount of sodium carried to the surface in these bubbles is too small to be detected by ground-based spectroscopy, so it's consistent with the results reported by Schneider's team. Further observations are planned, as Cassini is due for 4 further flybys of Enceladus before mid-2010. And finally, the Herschel satellite, launched last month from French Guiana, has taken its first images. On the 14th of June, 1 month after launch, the command to open the cryostat lid was sent to the spacecraft. Although the telescope has not yet reached its final orbit at L2 and is still undergoing testing and commissioning, the team operating the satellite attempted a sneak preview test image on the same day the cryostat lid was opened. From a list of potential targets for this first imaging test, the Whirlpool Galaxy, or M51, was chosen, partly because of the comparable data available from other infrared instruments, such as the MIPS camera on Spitzer. Despite being at a very early stage in commissioning, the resulting images are spectacular, showing that the telescope optics are performing extremely well so far. Further commissioning is underway before full sights operations begins later in the year.